So give to God. Get into his kingdom principles. And I'll show you a man and a woman that will owe no one but to love them. Get out of debt. I mean, there's people that need you that don't have this revelation that we preach in through the word of God. Amen? Amen. And so when you give in that bucket and then that bucket, then give with that attitude. If you were a visitor, inside that visitor packet was a card it's a visitor card and a pen. Fill it out for us if you don't mind. Just gives us a record that you came. And then sweet little lady Doris, where is she? Where's she at? She back there in the back. Hi, Doris, way back there. She'll call you one time and just welcome you. Thank you for coming to church. If you have any questions about church, ask her. What do we believe? Go to the website and it gives you what we believe. You know what we believe? The Bible. From Genesis to Revelations. But it just shows you and tells you what our church doctrine believes, which is the Bible. We don't have live by the Baptist doctrine or the Pentecostal doctrine or the Assembly of God or the Methodist or we just live by the Word of God. Amen. And so that'd be a blessing in your life. And at least if you have any prayer requests as well, visitors, man, let us know about it. We have a prayer team that'll pray for you and hopefully be a blessing to you. Amen. So come give with a big old shout of praise, would you? Oh, thank you, Lord. I want to say hi, Mom. My mom called me this morning and said she'd be watching us live on the internet. And so can you pan across the crowd? And would everybody just say hi, Mom? Hi, doll, or hi. Hi, doll. Anyway. We better behave. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. It's been well over a year or two that the kids been coming up here and I don't know when they started it, but I think that's a pretty neat way to teach kids, man. If they'll get into sowing and reaping at a young age, man, they will be blessed beyond measure. Amen. Praise the Lord. We get to take communion. Let's pass those out. We take communion once a month, usually the first Sunday of the month, it was Easter last week and there's so many people, then we wanted to just do it this week. Communion is very, very special to me. I remember my mom and dad, when my dad was still here on earth and he was battling some things in his life, would take communion, not just once a day. Sometimes they would take it more than that. And it was something that I began to understand, even as a young minister, really what communion meant to a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're born again and Jesus is your Lord, then we need to remember constantly what he did for us. Why did Jesus die? I mean, I know prophetically he had prophesied his death. But why did he really die? And see, that's what we're remembering. We're remembering the broken body and that blood that was shed. Man, how important that is. 2,000 years ago when they crucified our Jesus, they made him go through major, major pain. It was terrible. Golly. How Jesus was beaten. How they mocked him constantly. Think about that. I mean, here we're so afraid to be persecuted that a lot of times that we don't stand up boldly in the world and declare that Jesus is Lord, because some people just don't want to be persecuted. But here's Jesus that, man, he took it on his back. They mocked him with this crown. Oh, you're really the king Well, let's put this crown of thorns on your head then. If you ever study out the crown that they stuck on him, when they made it, it was just thorns. And then when they crammed it into his head, those thorns were like 3 inches long. They crammed it down into his head. He got that cross and he took it down to Golgotha. And as y'all know and probably read the story, maybe even seen some movies, I don't know if you can portray it right, but they were mocking, spitting on him. And while he did it, he was doing it for you. He's doing it for me. He didn't have to. He could have said, nope, too painful. I mean, you remember when he was all 100% man? He felt everything that you and I feel. He feels the rejection, or he felt it. He felt the pain. Oh, wow. Pain. And then he declared to the Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He could have said, that's enough right then. Mm-mm. No, sir, I am not doing it any longer. It's too much pain. But he said, no, Father, it's not my will be done, but thy will be done. See, he was doing it for us. That's what we're remembering. We so easily forget things. We forget what the shed blood of Jesus Christ actually did to redeem you from the curse of the law. You've got salvation. You don't have to go to hell. Man, study hell. That's a bad, bad, bad place. But it's a place. No, we have a way of escaping hell. We have a way of escaping the grave. Death. Just like Jesus did. That's why we studied last week over the resurrection, that we can be raised up with him. I mean, in other words, when you die, you just die of this flesh. But your spirit's going to live forever somewhere. And the reason we have church is because we want to spend it in eternity in heaven. Because Jesus Christ, as we talked about last week, he's not in that tomb. Say amen to that. He's been raised from the dead. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But thank God that he gave his life for us. This little bit of bread represents his body. And this little bit of juice represents his blood that was shed. So when we take it, according to 1 Corinthians, when we take it, we're doing it in remembrance of him. And we're going to do it at the same time. We're going to eat of the bread and we're going to drink of it. But here's what it means. His body was broke. His blood was shed so that we can be in the New Testament of the church. Not the Old Testament law where you just serve God because you had to. No, now because of grace and mercy, we get to serve God because we want to. I mean, we need him in these days. I need a God, as James chapter 1 says, that I can ask him for wisdom. Sir, I need some help, sir. I need wisdom. And you know what he says? I'll give it to you. Liberally upbraideth not. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us of all our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, let's eat and drink. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus so that we can have life and more abundant life. So that we can remember today that you did break your body it was beat terribly for us, so that we don't have to walk in sickness and death, but we can walk in health and prosperity. The love that we need today. The mercy, the grace that we need. For the blood that covers a multitude of sin. Thank you. We'd remember that this day in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Give him some praise, would you? With a, let me let the guys gather up all the, if you don't mind just passing your little cup to the end or whatever, we'll come get it from you. And thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. Where are we going to go, Lord? Thank you, Father. With the, is all of them up? Is the aisle ready for kids to rock on out of here? This is, man, they have a blast. Hey, and listen to me. Make sure your kids mind. Because I'm not going to be responsible for your kid getting beat. Okay? That's my kid. Anyway. Now make a mind. I mean, I want the atmosphere in kids' church to be where those kids can't wait to get there. And if there's some that cause trouble and back talk, and I've heard there are, and they're hitting on each other and stuff like that, even if it's my boy, I've given those leaders permission to whoop my kid. But your kid is just going to get brought back to you, and so if they get brought back to you, that means they're not acting right. So get on them. Amen? Let's be moms and dads. So with that said, kids' church and our youth group is dismissed with a big old round of applause. Amen? Some of them kids say, I ain't going nowhere, man. Get killed. No, they have a blast, I promise. How many brought your Bibles? Let me see all the Bibles. All the word. Thank you. Thank you for bringing your word this morning. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 as I want to finish, hopefully today, a message that God gave me about a month or so ago. And with that message, it's just simply entitled, God's Plan for Your Life. Every single one of us has a plan that God wants us to have and fulfill. He wants us to meet it, be it, all those things. But a lot of Christians don't really know what God's plan is for their life. And really, the Apostle Paul dealt with these kind of things when he began to teach the church at Ephesus about just some things that you need to be and do in the kingdom of God. That when you give your life to Jesus Christ, it's a way of living. Does everybody understand that? When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, it's a way of living then. Because old things, the way you used to live, pass away, and behold, all things become new. And the new is a life in Christ Jesus. A new is then living by this Bible. In other words, we just don't live for God on Sundays or on Easter, being a big old crowd that was here last week. Where are they all at this week? Was it just family that come into town, or did they go back to, well, I'm just too busy? Because see, it is a lifestyle that we live in Christ Jesus, all found in the Word of God. And so here the Apostle Paul is teaching us today, and in that day, the church at Ephesus, just some ways that kind of keep us from the will of God in our lives. I mean, and he just gives us some warnings and things like put on the new man and, you know, put off the old man. Things like that. But if you get into some of these ways and teachings, then God will then open up the door for you to understand what his plan for you is. And he has a plan for you. Doesn't matter if you're young, it doesn't matter if you're older. He's got a plan for you. And if you don't know what that plan is, that's when you ask God, James chapter 1, for that wisdom who will give it to you. And then he'll just begin to open the door. Now, obviously God's plan for my life was not just to preach the word of God, but it was just to serve him with my heart. And then he opened the door. About 24, I finally submitted to going after the call. I mean, I didn't want to. I have to be honest. I didn't necessarily want to be a preacher, but I always had a heart for the Lord. I was preaching probably before I really submitted to the call in my life. So about age 24 is when I finally quit fighting it, and I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Oh, man. When I did that, doors opened everywhere. Matter of fact, still to this very day, I could preach somewhere every night. We started several churches, several outreaches that, at colleges and things like that are still going to this day, and then some were ended. Was for a season. But I didn't really submit to the Lord until I was about 20, 24 or so. Jamie and I wasn't quite married yet. I think about 4 years later, maybe five, is when we ended up getting married after I was ministering. I mean, the doors, I'm telling you, they went open everywhere. My calendar, I still get places to go preach over a year in advance. And so I have to really pray and say, God, is that what you want me to do? I mean, this, when I get a call from all over, them wanting me to come and preach at their church or usually at a rodeo or something, I sit down and I might even visit with my wife, and I want to know God's plan for my life. So let's go and try to finish Ephesians chapter 4 and figure out what the plan of God is for you. And these things that we'll read will just help you get to God's plan for your life. And it might just be where you work that you let your light shine. It might be at school, at college. It might be, just in your business. Whatever you do, God's got a plan for your life. And he wants you to succeed. He does not want you to fail. Say amen to that. Amen. So in Ephesians, excuse me. I don't know where we left off, but let me just start with verse 27 in Ephesians chapter 4 that says, neither give place to the devil. The enemy wants to stop you from where he wants you to be. He wants you to get you sidetracked off of the road that God called you to be on. He does not want you to succeed and fulfill the dreams and the visions that he's placed in your heart. He wants you to be moved to the left or to the right from the road that God's really called you to be on. A lot of times it's because of sin. So here the Apostle Paul is trying to teach, give the devil no place in your life. And I don't know, but when we fall into the temptations of the world to sin, that's when we open up the areas for the devil to come right in. If you're one that is angry, you're one that is not very friendly, you've probably somewhere opened the place for the devil to come in and torment you and keep you riled up all the time. You see it in the church constantly because there's people that go to church just to cause trouble. There's no one in this church, hopefully. You don't want to be a troublemaker. You just need to receive from God. And man, when you receive from him, that's when the blessings will flow. A lot of times the people get out of the river of blessings and they stay up on the bank because they don't feel worthy. They don't feel good enough. They don't know enough scripture. They haven't prayed long enough. Listen, y'all, all that's doing is giving the devil place in your life to steal, John 10:10, kill, say it with me, and destroy. He does not want you to succeed in this life. So that's why the Bible says to submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. But you've got to be submitted to God. Get into his ways of doing things. Remember that scripture that says, seek first in Matthew? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the things be added unto you. Well, when you study out the kingdom of God, you find out that it's not talking about heaven primarily. I mean, it is, but it's not. Really, the kingdom of God is God's way. It's a method of doing things here on earth like heaven. In other words, don't wait for heaven to get healed. Do it right here. Believe that by his stripes you're healed. Believe that when they lay, Mark 16, lay hands on the sick, that you'll recover from that sickness. In other words, man, when you start living by this Bible and you get into the the method of the kingdom of God, then you'll inherit those kind of things. You know what those kind of things are? Peace. Joy. And I'm talking true joy. Remember Nehemiah saying it? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Because if the devil keeps you from that joy, that's when he's got you. Joy. No. Don't give him no place. Because if you give him place, then you'll try to get joy from other ways than God. And I think all of us probably know that the joy you get from an alcohol or a drug does not last. I want the everlasting joy. So here, we're trying to be taught to give the devil no place. 28, here's another one. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs it. Let me read that to you because it helps you in the Amplified just a little bit more. Again, verse 28, where it says, let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those who are in need. Now, you can't get away from tithing in this scripture. You can't. Because again, when you give to the Lord, that's what opens up the principles of sowing and reaping. We all understand that. You ought to go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. It says, while the earth is still here, while it remains, there's always going to be seed time and harvest. Always. And that's not talking about just a farmer sowing seed. It's talking about there's going to be seed that you sow constantly, having, you know, just a merry heart, you're sowing seed. Being an edifier and so on, you're sowing seed. You're also sowing seed when you're hateful and those kind of things too. Because if you're not a very friendly person, you're not going to have any friends. Why? Because you sowed, S-O-W-E-D, sowed unfriendliness. Well, God wants you to have a lot of friends because he wants you to have some purpose in your life to maybe lead them to the Lord if they won't even come to this church, you see. So, really, tithing, you can't get away from this scripture because in Malachi, the Bible says that stop stealing from God. And then they ask, how are we stealing? And he says, through tithes and offerings. And again, when you're not a giver to the Lord, then all that usually means is that you've either living above your means and you can't put your faith and trust in him because, you know, 10% of $1,000, I've got to give 100 to the Lord. Well, you don't have to, but I advise it. But I have $1,500 in bills and that only leaves me 900. Well, where's your faith? Is your faith in your job? Or is your provider God Almighty? Man, when God's the provider, I've seen him work in my lives like you would never, never imagine. I mean, when I finally submitted to the Lord all those years ago and I said, God, okay, I'm just going to give to you. I know my bills are more than I actually make, but that's my fault. That's not yours, and I'm just going to give to you. And then supernaturally, God would cause my bills to be paid. And then I started just working from there. You know, In other words, I didn't start off saying, God, you know, I have this dream of a new house. Would you pay for it? When I was, you know, just beginning to give to the Lord. When I was just beginning to tithe, I wasn't saying, Lord, I want a new house paid for in Jesus' name. Now, that's not bad to do, but I didn't do that. You know why? Because I wanted to have faith for God to provide a washer and dryer before, you know, and pay cash for it. I started at that level, and then my faith began to grow. And I said, sir, I'm a tither, I'm a giver, I have sowed seed, and I've helped a lot of people. Therefore, and I'm working for you, sir, and I'm tired of sleeping on the front seat of my truck when I go to preach for you, sir. I went to the George Strait. I preached for George Strait and did for how long, Jamie? I preached a service for George Strait for 18 years. And I, one time, it was when he was doing his big event in Kingsville. And it was, how many of you ever been there in the summer? Ooh, you sweat. You sweating. That's just part of it there. And I left my truck on all night and I slept on the front seat of my truck. This is 18 years ago. And I'm here to tell you, they have made trucks a whole lot better today. Because back when, they didn't have that console in the center. It was just straight across. But there was a big hump in the middle. And I'll never forget, because I was so sore by, I couldn't get comfortable. And I can just imagine, follow me with that camera, you ready? I go real fast. I just can't imagine me getting up there and having that arch in my back. And, praise the Lord, who wants to be like me? And so I said, God, I'm a tither. I give to you, and not just that, I work for you, sir. And I need a motorhome. He said, all right, sow some seed. So I found a ministry that needed transportation because so many people were getting saved in their ministry. And I gathered up back then $1,000, and the Lord's allowed me to say that after a few years. Still a lot of money to me. And I sowed it into this man's ministry. His name was Jesse Duplantis. He's come and preached for me before. Great man of God. I mean, so many people get saved from his ministry. Now, I just sent it. And I wrote him a note and I said, hey, brother, I'm believing for a motorhome. And I want you to believe with me, and I'm going to sow into your ministry for this motorhome. And then I began to just confess things. Every time I would see a motorhome, I would say, thank you, Jesus, for my motorhome. Thank you, Jesus. And I remember being in Albuquerque preaching, and man, they just got nicer and nicer going down that Interstate 40. I mean, wow. Thank you, Jesus, for not that one, mine. The one that you have for me. Ladies and gentlemen, a month and 13 days later, a man and a woman walked up to me and said, God told me to give you a motorhome. I said, this word really does work. Because it was true. I just had to put all of my faith in him. But what if I hadn't have been a tither? See, it doesn't make much sense to not give to God and be, because look, you can't be an every now and then tither. It's kind of like being pregnant. You either are or not. I wanted to be a tither because why would, if you're not giving to the Lord and getting into his economy, then why would you beg for him to bless your business? Well, wait a minute, you're not even in the economy. Oh yeah, you'll give every now and then. You'll help a few people. You see, here he's saying, no, stop doing that. Stop doing that and just work and trust him. And then he'll give you so that you can be a blessing to him that needs, you see. Let's go to another one real fast. Look at this one, because, man, this is the one I got a hold of. I quoted this for years and years. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which would edify the listener. Here's what the King James says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to get a hold of the power that is in this mouth. The power that's in the tongue. It can either speak life or it can speak death, as we all know. But God wants you to speak a blessing. He wants you to edify people. I don't ever be around anybody that tears me down. I don't want to be around that negative stuff. I mean, anybody on a good sports team does not want anyone on their team that's negative. In rodeo, a bull rider does not need to be negative. He does not need to say, oh, I wonder if this is the bull that I'm going to get hurt on. Because that's what they're really taught. A bull rider in professional rodeo and any all the way down to calf riding, they're always taught by the world that, hey, this is a very dangerous sport. And it is. And it's just a matter of time when something will probably happen. Well, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear, uh-oh, this could be the bull that kills you like Lane Frost. No, I want someone to say, no, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that you have dominion over all the animals, over every creeping thing that creeps on this earth. And that's an animal. And why don't you get on it instead of having the fear on the inside of you of getting hurt, getting stepped on, getting bucked off hard? Why don't you take authority over that animal and you command the thing to buck, but you're going to ride it. And then when things get in danger, you're going to check out. Instead of the negative of, uh-oh, this is a rank fighting bull. It will probably run you over when you get off. Yeah, I don't want to be around that. I want things that come out of my mouth to be uplifting to someone that hears it. I want to say, hey, you're the head and not the tail. Hey, you are above and not beneath. I want someone speaking life to me. That's why very seldom when I am sick in the body does anybody ever know about it. Because I don't put it on Facebook, hey, everybody pray for me. Because there'll be one that says, uh-oh, he's dying. Uh-oh, I wonder if he's got cancer. Uh-oh, he's done for. But I'll pray for you anyway. No, I want people in faith praying for me. I want someone to say, no, that devil will not kill you. I speak life over you and not death in Jesus' name. Let nothing proceed out of your mouth but that which would edify the listener. I want to hear things like, man, you can do all things. Come on, you can do it. I don't care how bad off they are and how much in sin they are. I want someone speaking life to me. Hey, come on, brother, you can do it. Come on, get out of that junk. Come on. Come on, sister. Come on. Don't stay in that. No, get out of that mess. Get out of that rat hole. Climb yourself. In other words, when you're in a hole, stop digging. You can't dig yourself out. No, you just got to climb yourself out by speaking the word of God. And when you speak it, I'm telling you, you'll begin to get out of that rut. And then God's got you in the place where he needs you to be. Because, again, when you're in the rut, you will not be in the will of God. Religious people, anybody watching, the worst thing you can do is blame God for all the trials and tribulations that you go through. God is not the author of trials and tribulations. Do you hear me, church? It is not his responsibility to put you through some sickness and through some wreck to teach you a lesson. No, he's already done it. He's already sent Jesus, and he's not going to send Jesus anymore. He's already given you the word of God. All he says is live by the manual. A lot of people think that God is going to strike them down and, you know, humble them. You cannot find that in the word of God. God never will humble you. He says, humble yourself. God gets the blame for so much, y'all. I don't understand that. And here he's trying to say, no, 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 let nothing proceed out of your mouth but that which would edify the listener. It does not edify me. Here's an example. I was in a church years ago down further southwest Texas. And I'll never forget a lady, and there's another ranching lady that was beside me. Their family owns a big ranch. And she said, I have a word from the Lord to you. And she looked at this woman beside me. And so I'm here, I'm listening. And she said, the Lord wanted me to tell you that you're going to go bankrupt and you're going to go through a very bad time, but he wanted me to tell you to count it all joy because he'll take care of you. Well, that sounds good, right? But I'm telling you that was not from God, because God does not want anybody to go bankrupt, because then God would be responsible. What is he just going to send you through bankrupt? No, no, no. Why don't you just learn how to live by the principles of the Lord? That's why we teach about tithing. Uh-uh, you don't have to go bankrupt. Why don't you just trust God by faith? Amen. And when you do that, then you don't need anybody telling you something negative. In other words, that'd be like me saying, I know you got a lot of gray hair, brother. The Lord says you're going to be dying in about a half a year. But count it all joy, you'll go to heaven. Well, wait a minute. What if he ain't ready to go to heaven? He said, he got to take care of his grandkids and his wife. And right, mama? I mean, he got some stuff to do on this earth. You ain't got time to die, right? Not unless you want to go. And if you want to go, just say, okay, God, I'm ready to go home. And you don't have to go home with sickness and disease like the world tries to convince you of. No, why don't you? You've got the power over life and death in the tongue. So why don't you just, when you're ready to go home and you're older, I mean, it doesn't make much sense for a 20-year-old to say, I'm ready to go home. I don't need anybody saying that negative junk to me. No, I want to be built up. I want to say, Ricky, you've got more work to do. And you got to go out there and get people born again. So go out, go forth in Jesus' name. I want someone saying that to me. Yeah, but you're never at church and you're my pastor. Well, but what about the one that gave their life to Jesus that will not have to go to hell because I went out because God told me to? No, why don't you just be happy that someone gets to go to heaven? Hallelujah. Kind of got all excited there for a minute. Yeah, but my pastor needs to be here. No, I don't. I've already trained you up in the ways of the Lord. I mean, man, all we got to do is just keep looking in this book of Ephesians. And it tells us, just go back just one page. Just go back. And he gave some, verse 11, chapter 4, Ephesians, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? The perfecting of the saints. For the what? Work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So my job as a pastor is to teach you, the saints, to do the work of the ministry. It's not my job only. Now I'm going to do it and I'm going to go pray for you. But you need to go and do the work of the ministry. You need to be uplifting someone, edifying them, prophesying to them. I mean, laying hands on them, whatever we need to do, it's up to you to go do it if I teach you right. Yeah, but I'm not a minister of the gospel. Doesn't matter. You still have a plan of God for your life to do the work of the ministry, you see. I'm not saying to stand up here behind the pulpit and preach like I'm doing, but there's someone that you have influence over that needs to be edified and built up. And that's what this is talking about, you guys. Look at the next one. Flip back over. Look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. In the Amplified, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him by whom you're sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption of your final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. You know what that means? The Bible tells us that if you're saved and born again, that you're to be led by the Spirit of God. So when you're led by him and he's saying, hey, would you go just build up that lady right there? She's a widow. She's lonely. She needs to be built up. Well, when you say no to him, it saddens him. When you're out of the will of God into sin, it saddens the Spirit of God. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. Get that out of your mind. Get that out of your mind. I mean, once you give your life to Jesus, you're born again. Okay? Listen, because people ask me this. Listen carefully. My son came to me a few days ago and says, Dad, can you lose your salvation? Does the Bible talk about it? I said, well, you can, but I've never seen it happen. I mean, I'm not saying you can, because then I taught him, how do you get saved? Well, you give your life to Jesus, which then means that you deny Satan and all of his works, and you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. Right? That's how you give your life to Jesus. So in order to have the opposite of that, then you would have to deny Jesus and all of his works. And I suppose you could lose your salvation. I've never seen anybody do that, and why would you? I mean, let me use some King James vernacular. If thou doeth that, thou stupideth. Come on, you got to have fun in church, please. Be all religious. What did he say? But listen to me. When you're born again, though, then you have the keys to the kingdom. When the enemy tries to bring sickness and disease and all that mess, you have the keys to the kingdom. You can say the name of Jesus. And at the name, just the name of Jesus, Jesus, every demon has to flee. Y'all heard that story when I was doing a service in Abilene at the Coliseum. And it was for the high school state finals. And man, there was a bunch of people up in this one section. It wasn't like Field Coliseum, but it was several hundred. And it's right before rodeo time. And I'll never forget it. I'm preaching, and I started seeing all these people like y'all looking past me. And then I started hearing right below people were coming in for the rodeo. And, man, they were loud, did not care. And I'm starting to get perturbed, you know, because I'm real sensitive of the anointing of God. But here, man, they're really making distractions down here. And so in mid-sentence, the Spirit of God just put in my mind, said, hey, say Jesus. So, I mean, I stopped. I don't even know what I was saying at the time, but I just stopped and said, Jesus. He said, say it again. I said, Jesus, in that Colosseum. And I'm telling you, you couldn't hear a pin drop. Because at that name, every demon has to flee. That's why if there's ever someone demon possessed, and there's a lot of people that are demon possessed, y'all. You probably see a lot of them, don't you, Biker Bob? Biker Bob, stand up. Can y'all get a picture of him? I mean, he started coming to our church years ago, and just turn around and look at that camera right there. Don't do anything but just turn around. Okay, now turn back around. Did y'all see him? I don't know if he's trying to fix himself, but I asked him for some scissors the other, not very long ago. Whoosh, I got some. You want a knife? I got that. It's a big one, too. I mean, he just started pulling out all kinds of stuff. Don't pull out what I think you might have, but. All right, sit down. Thank you, brother. But I'm sure he comes into a lot being in that kind of world. Well, you don't want to go in like Biker Bob. He doesn't want to go in the name of Biker Bob. You demons, come out. No, they're going to laugh. But man, when you use the authority of the name of Jesus Christ and you tell that devil to get out, just like Jesus did in any of his disciples. And man, remember when those demons went into those pigs, went into the lake and killed themselves? Man, that authority of Jesus Christ, man, is powerful, but yet there's a whole church, people of church that don't even take that authority. No, man, you take that authority, praise God. And when you do that, you're going to start seeing things happen in your life, and they'll be for the good in Jesus' name. What time is it? All right, let me finish up. In other words, just don't grieve him. Just do what he says, man. I'm not saying you won't make mistakes. That's why there's grace and mercy. Amen. Thank God for forgiveness. Look at verse 31 and we'll start closing. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, that bitterness and indignation and wrath, it's kin to passion and rage and bad tempers and things like that. Now, get away from that. That's why the Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked. Listen to me. Oh, Jesus, can I go there? Ooh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to go if the Lord wants me to. Listen. Being equally yoked with a believer is very important for a relationship. And I know a whole lot of men and women that will marry and the other one not be saved. That's a bad thing. Bad thing. Matter of fact, thank you, Lord. That's why it's so dangerous to have sex before marriage. It's a very dangerous thing because God created a man and a woman, and he created marriage between a man and a woman because that's how you be fruitful and multiply, right? And you can't the other way. You can't multiply and have children with a man and a man or a woman and a woman. So God created it to be from a man and a woman. So I always say, you women, you need us men for something. Amen. You do. Thank God. Thank God. But look, so when you are having sex outside of marriage, and then there becomes a lot of trouble, that's why. Because God created the consummation of marriage is through sex. So when they do it outside of sex, that's why there's what they call soul ties. It ties you to that person. And then it's very, very hard to get out of those soul ties. I mean, and you're drawn back to that person, and emotionally, that's why the third John says, I wish above all things that you be in health and you be in you're prosperous and be in health, even as your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions prosper. Because when they're out of the will of God, then your soul tied to someone that really you did things that was meant for marriage. That's why there's so much divorce in the church, is because maybe there was a relationship that started and, you know, they had sex and that their soul ties joined them together that God created through marriage, but yet they wasn't married. And man, it's a hard thing then to get that one to see that when they're trying to get out of the situation. Maybe it's abusive and you'll see them go right back. Well, because those soul ties. So what do? Break those soul ties. By the power in the name of Jesus, all you got to do is say, I break every single soul tie that I left with that person, and I call back everything that I gave them in Jesus' name. And you begin to break those curses. And if the church would just begin to do that, we'll stop having more of a divorce rate in the church than the world. And that's what we're seeing today. Come on, this is good preaching. You ain't got to be mad at me. I mean, just smile, because I'm telling you the truth. It's better that you get married than burn with passion. What's wrong with that? You got to get all the junk, the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, the evil speaking. You got to get it put away from you with all malice, so that you can actually go into a relationship healthy in Jesus' name. We've got to start teaching the Word of God that God doesn't want people to live with each other. He wants you to get married if you're meant for each other. It doesn't have to be, well, yeah, but things are going good now. No, you got to have faith in God. You got to start doing things right. We've got to start being an example of a marriage that's lasting, praise God. Thank God we're still married, Mama. Because there's a whole bunch of them that aren't. And if you aren't, then praise God, you can start today. There's grace and mercy and forgiveness, but yet we can't be afraid to speak the truth. Because that's what it's teaching those youngins. Oh, it's okay, just go through this one, go through that one, until you find the right one. No, no, no. Why don't you say, God, I want to know the will of God in my life. I need to know the direction. I've been praying for my daughter's husband and my boy's wife ever since they were born. I want them to walk in the honor of God. I'm not saying they won't make mistakes, but by golly, I'm going to teach it to them. And I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to justify that sin has become right. No, I'm going to get up here. I don't care if it makes anybody mad. I'm going to preach that word of God, because that's what will really help you. And it'll get you out of anger. And it'll get you out of bitterness, because people die of anger and bitterness. No, and you don't deserve to die. I mean, bitterness causes a whole bunch of sickness to come to your body just because you're mad. No, if you're mad and you haven't forgiven someone, forgive them today in Jesus' name. All right, now listen. I'll leave you with this last one. Because verse 32 finally says, "But be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." I mean, there is a time that we got to tell the truth to help someone, but man, what's wrong with being tenderhearted and just kind? And I know I'm preaching, you know, very bold this morning, but listen, there's a time. I mean, I want to be kind. I want you to know that, man, God's on your side. He is not against you. He's for you. He's not against you. He is for you. He's for you. Man, he loves you too. I've been watching y'all for the whole service. I don't know why. But I do know one thing, that the Spirit of God loves both of you. Individually, the ways y'all go, whatever. He loves you. And that's a good thing. I mean, gosh. Because a lot of times we're wondering, God, do you even really love me? But he does. See. Man, why don't we just have that nature that God gave us, tenderhearted? Because that's what you are. You are. Very, anybody knows her? Knows she's very, very tenderhearted. Now, your husband says you'll get on him, but I know him because he's been with me a lot. But thank God for your tenderheartedness, because, see, people need that. They need that mama to just hug them, even if it's not their mama. See, just that tenderheartedness. See, that's what God wants. He wants us just to be tenderhearted. In other words, we're not the judge. All those steer ropers that I go and rope with, and they're going to be here in 2 weeks. The best in the world will be right here. They don't need me preaching at them. They just need me to be tenderhearted. Hey, God loves you. And I'm just telling you right now, they drink. Wow. My little boy looked at me and said, Dad, you're the only one not drinking. I said, that's right. I'm going to stand up for God. I'm not saying their one drink is sin, but I'm here to tell you, I know where that leads. Because it always turns into a drunk. They get it. Okay. Am I going to start putting guilt and condemnation on them to try to reach them? Because then they'll... I've never in all these years been the pastor that they hide from. Uh-oh, here he comes. Hide your beer. Now, they do that around me. I don't know why. Sometimes they want me to think the best of them, so they'll have their beer behind them. I'm not the judge. I am not the judge, y'all. And you can't either. No, I think it's very important that we just be tender-hearted, kind. Because, see, we're born-again people. And that's what the world needs. I'm not saying we can't tell them the truth, because we got to tell them the truth. Do things right. But then there's a time when you got to be tender-hearted. Say, hey, God loves you no matter what. That's what I'd say to anybody in here. Anybody that knows the will of God for your life but just doesn't want to get into it, man, let all the walls down. Calm down and start trusting Him. Because if you do that, you'll start finding out what the will of God is for your life. But until then, when you're still fighting Him, when you're still, you know, not giving in to the areas that He's really been dealing with you in, that's when you'll just keep searching for the will of God in your life. You'll still be older and you'll still be thinking, well, where's the plan of God for my life? But man, when you sit back and you get submitted to God, He'll start causing that plan to start flowing in your life. I want to edify, Starla, I want to edify you. And I've told Jamie this before. You don't know how special you are to this church. And I've told, me and Jamie have talked about this. Because, and you've had every opportunity to probably leave with different families or different things, and you've been so faithful. And you're here and you work. I mean, you come and get cups and coffee and those kind of things made. And I want to tell you, and I'm telling you, this is from the Spirit of God. He appreciates it so much, but so do we. Amen. You deserve the best. Thank you, Jesus. You deserve it. All you ushers, thank you so much for all you do for this church to maintain order and be friendly when people are coming in. And I know you might, trying to seat people, there can be some mistakes. Man, who cares about all that? I mean, just as long as you forgive those ushers sometimes, y'all. I mean, they're just trying to help. And I'm telling you, but they come in early and they have marks where the chairs go. And they straighten them all up. It's amazing what they do. And Heidi and Daryl, you don't understand how important you are to this church. And so I need you to live for another 30 years, please. Okay? Amen. I need you and Jane to, y'all keep living. Because when I go to the last verse of Amazing Grace and you're trying to find it, and I saw you back there, you were supposed to go to the second verse. You're just so faithful to find that last verse. Did anybody see that? Thank you so much. All you people that are so faithful to give to this church, you don't know what that means to a church that we don't operate in fear. Matter of fact, in the summer months, all my pastor friends will say, oh, brother, you need to save up, because in the summer people leave and go on vacation and the tithes go down and everything just drops off. Not at this church. I said, no, I don't receive that in Jesus' name. During the summer month, our church grows and it does financially as well. Amen. But I want to thank you. I want to thank all my friends that just love on me no matter what. They build me up. They play golf. Man, y'all mean so much to me. take me playing golf. And all you committee people on the rodeo committee, just you're tirelessly working. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Man, we need you. Lance, for coming and opening the door and it's kind of being our security. Really appreciate it. Betsy got these beautiful rugs for us, and you don't understand that you're important in this church. You're important in Jamie and I's life. Kind of the reason we came here, you prayed us in. You see, this is the kingdom of God. Being built up. My gosh, have y'all seen the website now? Are y'all not going to it? I mean, this is a church that has, we have our own app, WCCowboyChurch.org. Why aren't y'all going to it? Because Denise has worked her tail off. She's constantly calling me, hey, I've got an awesome idea. God, thank you. Thank you. I really, really appreciate all the hard work you've done of redesigning that website and keeping it active and all the things that comes with it. I know it's tiring. I know it's long hours. But I really, really thank you for that. And I mean that. Amen. All you band members, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming up here in your ministry and your anointing and playing. We have one of the best bands in the country, y'all. Matter of fact, listen. People come to this church because they've heard. I have ministers come and say, I want to meet you and look at your church. Because they've heard about us all over the country and our band and how Ricky has graciously left Branson and all those shows he was used to do with all those entertainers just to come and run the music here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. I hope you won't ever leave. Amen. I'll kick your butt if you do. Excuse me, y'all. I'll kick your hiney. Probably nicer. Is everybody saved? Born again? Pray this prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed. Just pray this prayer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Write my name in the Lamb's book of life. I want to come to heaven and not hell. Thank you, Jesus, that I get to go to heaven now. But I want heaven here. I need help here. I need peace here. I need joy here on this earth. So thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand straight up and say, I gave my life to Jesus and I meant that prayer. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I'm coming to heaven when I leave this earth. If that was you and you just confessed that prayer for the very first time, when I say three, I just want you to be bold enough to raise your hand and say, that was me. And then just put it right back down. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want, with no one looking around, I want you to just be bold enough to say, Jesus, I meant that prayer. And just let me see it. Would you do that in Jesus' name? When I say three, get your hand up. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate it. I really do. It means so much. Thank you. Thank you, guys, so much. Man, God loves you. He loves you so much. Hand me one. Thank you, brother. It's so, so honored. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Thank you, Jesus. Hand that to her. Thank you. Honored, honored, honored. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Love you. I love you. I love you. I thank you for growing this church, causing people to come give their lives to you, sir, and then plug in And I know we're not perfect, sir, but just help us in every area that we need help in. Thank you, Lord, for providing and getting that children's church finished and paid for. We're going to wait on you. We're not borrowing. We're going to have faith in you, sir. So thank you, sir, for everything that you're doing here. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Did you have a good time this morning? Hope you did. Just real quick announcements before we're dismissed.